ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 13 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sarve yami vidhikarastava sattva dhamno. Brahmadayo vayami veshanacho dvijantaha. Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya. Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai. Sarve yami vidhikarastava sattva dhamno. Brahmadayo vayami veshanacho dvijantaha. Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya. Vikriritam bhagavato ruchiravatarai. Sarve yami vidhikarastava sattva dhamno. Brahmadayo vayami veshana chod vijantaha. Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya. Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai. Sarve yami sarve. Do it again, first line. Say it again. Sarve yami. Say it like that. Sarve yami vidhikarastava sattva dhamno. Brahmadayo vayami veshana chodvijantaha. Kshemaya bhutaya utatma sukhaya chasya. Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai. Sarve yami vidhikarastava sattva dhamno. Brahmadayo vayami veshana chodvijantaha. Kshemaya bhuta utatma chasya. Vikriditam bhagavato ruchiravatarai. Verse translation. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon, Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Purport, Prahlad Maharaja wanted to assert that his father and the other members of his family were all unfortunate because they were demoniac, whereas the devotees of the Lord are always fortunate because they are always ready to follow the orders of the Lord. When the Supreme Lord appears in this material world in his various incarnations, he performs two functions, saving the devotee and vanquishing the demons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkutam. Lord Nrisimhadev, for example, appeared for the protection of his devotee. Such pastimes as those of Nrisimhadev are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees, but nonetheless the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaja, in the following prayer, requests the Lord to give up his anger. Prahlad, again, stressing his disqualification, along with his qualification to worship the Lord, to pray to the Lord, is his sincere desire to do so. He says that anyone who has this sincere desire to do so can pray to the Lord. But then he says that the demigods, they're better situated. they're devotees from the very beginning. Of course, Prahlad was also, but he's also stressing his own position in a demoniac family. Here he makes the important point that the Lord appears for his own pleasure. He's independent. At the same time, his pleasure, he takes pleasure in his devotees' pleasure. So if you say he appears for his own pleasure, that also means he appears for his devotees' pleasure, because his pleasure is what his devotees want. And his devotees want that he will be happy. That's why they're devotees. In this verse, Prahlad Maharaj addresses the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form as Nrisimha, as Isha, the well-known name, or name or title, we could say. More like a title, just like the Prime Minister. It's a title, it's not a name. It signifies his role and position. Of course, for Krishna, their names and titles, they're interchangeable. Because he's permanently in the position. Prime Minister today will not be the Prime Minister after some time. So it's an office, but it's not a permanent position. So we, of course, nothing in this world is permanent, but we could say that the Prime Minister, if you say the Prime Minister of India, that's correct. This person is the Prime Minister of India. But throughout his life, he's known as Narendra Modi. 10 years ago, he wasn't known as the Prime Minister of India. And after 10 years, probably he won't be either. So the title and the name, they are different, but in Krishna's case it's the same, because Isha, he's always the boss. And everyone's an Ishvara. Isha, Ishvara means the same thing, more or less. Now everyone is an Ishvara to some extent. Someone has the role of Ishvara over his family members, and in the office he has someone above him, and in the person who's above him has someone above him. When we go all the way up to the top, then it's Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyadananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. The supreme controller is Krishna, one above whom there is no controller. So the term Ishvara is especially applicable to him. It can be applied to anyone, but it's especially applicable to him. And therefore, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Parameshvara, that title is given to him. But then we see that he says he appears, Prahlad himself says he appears for his own pleasure. But Ruchir Avatara, in his various avatars, he performs various pleasing activities. Ruchir, I think you know that's quite a common girl's name, isn't it? Ruchira means very pleasing. Yata Ruchi, according to your taste. So it may be male or female form. Here it's used as an adjective. So he appears for his own pleasure, but when he came out of that pillar, he didn't start dancing Rasalila. He wasn't in Rasalila mood at all. So he appeared for his own pleasure, but appeared for his own pleasure? No, he appeared because Prahlad was being harassed by Hiranyakashipu. He appeared to kill Hiranyakashipu. And to maintain the word of his devotee, because Prahlad had said, "Is your Lord in this?" Hiranyakashipu sarcastically said to Prahlad, is your Vishnu, he's in this pillar?" "Yeah." So he, and then he manifested that particular form. he had to do some quick thinking there. Of course, he's eternally Nrisimha, but he didn't appear. For instance, he could have appeared as four-handed Vishnu with his chakra and just removed the head of Hiranyakashipu, but the form of Nrisimha is particularly suitable to fulfill the word of Brahma also. So he appears for his own pleasure, but his pleasure is fully intertwined with the pleasure and protection of his devotees. So although he's called Isha, which is absolutely applicable to him, but he's also known as Anisha, which is one of the names in Vishnu Sahasranama. And the name Anisha has been analyzed by the acharyas who have commented on Vishnu Sahasranam in two ways. Some analyze the name to mean that it's another way of saying Isha, Anisha. But Anisha means it negativizes. Shuddha, Ashuddha. So there's a clearly opposite, aren't they? So in the same way, if you say Isha, Anisha, they're opposite. But it can be taken to mean also Anisha, of whom there is no controller. So it comes out to mean the same as Isha, but just stressed in a different way. Or it can mean one who is not the controller. And different acharyas analyze in different ways. Shankaracharya takes it to mean that he is the one of whom there is no controller, which is true. And other acharyas, Parashara Bhatta of the Sri Vaishnav Sampradaya and Baladev Vidyabhushan, they analyze the name to mean that he who is not the controller, because he's controlled by his devotees. So both are true. It's just a matter of perspective, that's all. Oh, yeah, contradictory, you may say contradictory, yeah, but everything's possible in Krishna, because nothing is independent of Krishna. Nothing is independent of Krishna. That means he's independent. But then he's dependent on his devotees, so they're independent of him. Is it? Difficult to work out. Logic gets stopped here. That's why achintya, it's impossible to understand. Logic won't reach up to there, beyond mundane logic, because it's not mundane. It doesn't conform to ideas of what we think should be right and should be wrong. He's completely independent. Is he completely independent? Well, what does he say? Nahiya swatantra eva dvija. He tells to Durvasa Muni, you think I'm independent? They told you that in the Bhakti Shastra course? They're wrong. They don't know what they're talking about. That's the first. Then you have to first do Bhakti Shastra course, then Bhakti Vaibhav, first six cantos. Then you come up to Bhakti Vedanta, and then that comes in the second six cantos. So then you learn that all the time you learn he's independent, then you come to the ninth canto and he says, I'm dependent on my devotees, and just to underline it and stress it, I am not independent. So what do? We throw out the first canto, first verse, Swarat, he's independent. Now we have to understand both things. So it's not understandable by mundane intelligence. So he appears for his own pleasure. Well, it's also his own pleasure. That is his pleasure. He appears for his own pleasure, but his pleasure is to give pleasure to his devotees. And the name Prahlad means one who is very happy. Ahlad. So Prahlad means Ahlad means happiness, and Prahlad means Prakrishta Rupena, Srila Prabhupada often used to quote that, especially happy. But then the name of Nrsimha, a name of Nrsimha, Prahlada Hladadai, the one who gives happiness to Prahlad. So he gives happiness to him by appearing. Prahlad is very happily standing in front of Nrsimha, who's there with all blood and bits of flesh on his vajradangstra, on his teeth, and looking pretty horrific. And he's a very popular figure on the internet, Nrsimha Dev. The people who are really into the bibhatsarasa, the ghastly mood, they like to have pictures of Nrsimha. So they'll be purified. They have these horror movies and this mood of ghastliness and terror. So the original source of that is Nrsimhadev. In the Abrahamic religions, they have the idea of the devil. God is good and Satan is bad. No, they're wrong. God is good and God is bad. Sada Saj Chaham Arjuna. He says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm good, I'm bad. I'm good and I'm bad also. Sat Asat. Of course, Sat and Asat can mean so many different things. But if you take a vote from the demons before they all got killed by him, they can't vote anymore. Anyway, they don't vote because they know. Might, they know might only. Might is right. They would have said, Vishnu is very bad. And Hiranyakashipu told Prahlad, you're supporting the enemy. He's very bad. This Vishnu is very bad. So yeah, he's bad. From some perspective, he's bad. From Mother Yashoda's perspective, he's a very bad boy. So I always wanted a son, but I never knew it would be so much trouble. Every day, all the women are coming. I give the best milk to him and everything, and still he goes and steals from other houses. It's very shameful. It makes me look like I'm not feeding him at all. It looks very shameful to me that I am the queen of Vrindavan, got all the best cows, but my own son, he's not satisfied, and he goes and steals from other houses. So, who knows Krishna better than Mother Yashoda? She says he's very bad, so she must be right. No one knows the son better than the mother. So he's very bad. So now we're going to go out and preach to everyone, God is bad. God is very bad. Ah, we don't preach them. They have to come to the Bhagavatam class to hear that. And nowadays the Bhagavatam class is on the internet also. So, but who's going to listen? Who's going to listen to talk like this? No, anyway, this is for people who are somewhat advanced in The science of God, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the science of God. This is meant for discussion among devotees. Not that the devotees are going to hear God is bad and their mind is going to be completely disturbed by that. Because if you've been through we're in the seventh canto, and if you go through seven cantos of Bhagavatam, you really find out most of the time he's in the Bhagavatam, he's just killing people anyway. Even in Krishna Leela, Prabhupada, he said, if you see the amount of time described Krishna with the gopis compared to in the tenth canto, the number of times, the leelas of killing demons, the killing is much more. You must like that, right? Ruchir Avatara, he comes, he's pleasing, he likes, yeah? Prabhupada explains, he likes. He likes to do that also. Otherwise, with one flu epidemic, he could wipe out all the demons. But that's not a very honorable way for a demon to die. He's all powerful and strong and trained up, and he can, Maharati, he can fight with so many soldiers and kill them all by himself, and then a little germ kills him. So he maintains their honor. Otherwise, by some flu bug, he could kill them all. But he comes and personally kills. You have to be a very, very big demon. And in Kali Yuga, no one's such a big demon. So better not try to be a big demon and get killed. But that's what he does a lot of the time. Just to show that he is Isha. He's the supreme controller. So Krishna, he goes out and he kills so many demons and he comes back, and then Satyabhama is standing there at the door looking all angry. You didn't give me a parijata flower. And goes away and slams the door. Oh, the great hero killed so many demons. And then, he's submissive to his wife. She's just a woman. She can't kill all the demons. Well, as Durga she does, but not as Satyabhama. She could, but she's a good wife, so she doesn't want to look bigger than her husband, even if she is better than him. So he's Isha and Anisha. He's both. Wait a minute, he's Anisha, which is Isha. He's the controller, and he becomes submissive to his devotees. Otherwise, it's boring just being God all the time. All the time people come bowing down and give me this, okay, give me that, okay. It's boring. Then the wife comes and says, what are you doing sitting here all the time? You're all the time in the temple. Come home and look after me too. We're all the time doing service in the temple with all these people. Okay, so Pujari shut the door and then he's free. Then he can do what he likes. Otherwise, it's, the queen sitting there and it's over to, come on. Pujari's supposed to close the door 15 minutes ago. Getting angry and he's wondering why. I have to please these devotees, but the other devotee of my wife, she's getting upset with me now, so. What to do? He becomes in a quandary. So that's it. He's the controller. There is a way to control him also. What is that? Anyone can think of? Famous verse. Very famous verse. How he can be controlled. Anyone? Ramananda Rai, clue. He said so many things, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected. What did he say? I gave it away now. Anyone? Jnane prayasam. Anyone can say? Udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiyavartam sthane stita shudikatang tanuvang manobhi ye prayaso jitatitopya pitaistrilokam. Brahma prayed to Krishna, the supreme controller. Brahma thought he was the supreme controller. So he thought he'd play a trick on Krishna. It was a mixture of playfulness of Brahma, and at the same time he wanted to show or see what's going on actually, because after all, Brahma is born from the lotus sprouting from Garbhodakshay Vishnu's navel, and it's all Aishvarya, huge form and born on the lotus, and then Brahma, all the demigods come and bow down to him, and demons also. He's the father of them all. And then he saw Krishna. This is Narayana. I prayed, he came. But I think I don't know what's going on here, because it doesn't look like Narayana. It looks like him, but Narayana doesn't do things like that, running around with cows and bare feet. And so he kidnapped the boys, the cowherd boys, and the calves. And then later on he understood, oh, I made a mistake. So then he prayed, Gyane Prayasam Udapasa, giving up the idea that I know everything very well. Brahma should know everything very well. Is the Vedas manifest from his mouth also. Not only from Narayana's mouth, but from his mouth. It means originally from Narayana, but then through his mouth. So he knows everything very well. He sees the whole universe. He knows everything that's going on. But he says, giving up the endeavor to know everything. I know everything very well. Becoming humble. Namanta eva. That's the eva. It's completely essential. Udapasya. Namanta eva. Jivanti sanma karitam bhavadiyavata. One should live one's life hearing from great devotees topics about Krishna. Remaining in one's position, one should dedicate oneself to hearing and serving mind, body and words. These three terms, they're often used together. It means you have to dedicate everything, mind, body and words, kaimanavakya, in the service of the Lord. And one who does so by this endeavor, Brahma says, one can conquer over him who is otherwise unconquerable in all the three worlds. In other words, there's nothing material can conquer. Hiranyakashipu thought, I'm unconquerable. I am the Isha. I am the controller of everyone. But he didn't love anyone. If he took the position of being a little subservient and pleasing to his citizens, then they might have been happy with him. Srila Prabhupada said about India, he said the British could have stayed. He gave the example of the Muslims. They ruled for so many years because they didn't. They came and stayed here and lived among the people. And although they lived lavishly, the Nawabs, but whatever they were spending, the money stayed in India. But the British wanted to take it all out. They impoverished. They made India impoverished. And Srila Prabhupada said there was an idea put forward by one of the viceroys, or prior to viceroy, one of the British leaders in India, Curzon, I think he gave the name Lord Curzon, that you bring one of the members of the royal family, make him king in India, then everyone will follow. But the British didn't want to do it because they thought that then his interest will be there and not here, and we want to take out of India like this. So he gave the example. Hiranyakashipu, instead of, we have the idea of democracy, rule of the people. What is it? Rule the people, for the people, by the people, for the people, something like that. Of the people, for the people, something like that. But Hiranyakashipu was ruled by me, for me. So he wasn't, he didn't agree to become subservient to anyone, completely inflexible. So Krishna also gives some idea how to rule rulers in this world. They should also be, the king has full power over the people. He can see someone and say, immediately give him crore of rupees. Or he can say, immediately kill him. He has that power. But he has should have enough sense to rule for the benefit of the people. And his benefit will be there also. And for Krishna also, because we're all part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna takes pleasure in being served by his devotees. So if he displeases his devotees, then where will be the pleasure for him? So his pleasure and the pleasure of devotees, they're completely intertwined. So that they don't know, they can't even think what's for me. They only think what is for Krishna. And Krishna also thinks, he already has everything, but he simply thinks of the pleasure of his devotees. And in this way, he can do everything. He has all the powers. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana balakriya cha. He has all power. He can do whatever he likes. But he utilizes his powers so that everything is pleasing for the devotees. And then even Mother Yashoda becomes frustrated that she can't control him. But he is giving her so much pleasure. If he was a very good boy and just sat at home and smiled and was nice and didn't do anything wrong, Mother Yashoda would be happy, but not nearly as happy as when she's all the time agitated and in anxiety and thinking about Krishna and what are the other gopis going to say? They're going to come and get on my case again today. What can I do today? First thing when she wakes up in the morning thinking, Krishna, how am I going to get through the day with this wild child I've got? Talk about hyperactive. She doesn't know how hyperactive he is. He's controlling the whole universe. But he's got his finger in everything, not just in someone else's pot of yogurt. He's everywhere and everything, but real handful, really tough child, but how much pleasure he gives. Otherwise, if he's just a good boy sitting at home, nice. You can go to sleep and then take a nap and wake up and you'll see he's still sitting there. All very good. But with Krishna, if you turn away even a second, he's off, he's doing something. Doing something which he shouldn't be doing, something naughty. So she can't control him, but she completely controls him by her love. And then eventually Krishna agreed to be tied up by her ropes, which proves the point that ultimately he's under the control of his devotees. Pranaya Rasa. What is it? Pranaya Rasa now. That's stated in Bhagavatam. Krishna is tied up by the ropes of love of his devotees. And same thing, Prahlad, Narsimha. Narsimha, it doesn't appear to be a very loving leela. There's a lot of blood and anger, but it's all part of the love. It's all a manifestation of the love of Nrsimhadev. So love can come in various forms also. So he likes also. He likes to take that form and rip the demons to pieces. There's a kind of pleasure in that also. It's not to be imitated. We can't imitate that. That kind of pleasure that can be had in this world, if one is a kshatriya, it can also be had if one is a demon and is torturing others. But Nrsimhadev shows how to use that propensity simply for the pleasure of his devotees. I'll just see if there's anything more about Anisha. Yeah, Baladev Vidyabhushan says he is completely submissive to his devotees. Yeah, he's... Mahanarayana Upanishad says none rules over him. So we have different contradictory statements from the Shastras and the Acharyas. There are so many names there in Vishnu Sahasranam. Siddha Sankalpa, whatever he decides, or Satya Sankalpa, whatever he decides, it happens. None rules over him. Here's a, there, of course, there are thousands of statements in Shastra which describe how Krishna is supreme. I'll just read from Krishna book, the summary of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Kamsa began to think, what is to be done with Devaki? Surely she has Vishnu or Krishna within her womb. So it is certain that Krishna has come to execute the mission of the demigods. And even if I immediately kill Devaki, his mission cannot be frustrated. Kamsa knew very well, this is Srila Prabhupada's commentary, Kamsa knew very well that no one can frustrate the purpose of Vishnu. Any intelligent man can understand that the laws of God cannot be violated. His purpose will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demon. So this establishes that he is Isha. Whatever the demon, the most powerful demon, Hiranyakashipu, but he could not frustrate the law, he could not violate the law of Vishnu. The desire of Vishnu will be fulfilled, whatever the demons do to try to stop it. So the purpose of the Supreme Lord will be served in spite of all impediments offered by the demons, because he is the Supreme Controller, and therefore he's called Anisha. But then his purpose is to please his devotees, and he comes under the control of the devotees. Therefore he's called Anisha. So that's a little look at the name Anisha in respect to the name, the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev, who is addressed in this verse by Prahlad Maharaj as Isha. And so many important words are here in this verse. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Or comment? Anyone like to say something relevant to the topic? Yeah. Anisha Jiva Rupena, Madhva. If Madhva says that, it's probably a quote from Shastra, because most of his comments are taken from Shruti or Smriti. Anisha?
Jiva Rupena. Jiva is never controller.
Uh-huh, but that's not a complete sentence, is it? Anisha Jiva Rupena. So there must be more to it. Oh, I see. He only quotes that much. So the jiva is never Isha, yeah. Vishnu Sarvottama, his famous motto. Vishnu is above all. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.